live from the historic parsonage of the 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Wednesday on this 30th day of September 2020. And I have today both a returning guest and a first-time guest simultaneously. My returning guest is Pastor Josh Miller of Grace Bible Fellowship Church in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, who's actually going to be hosting a Bible conference coming up very shortly. And our first-time guest, it happens to be the speaker at this conference, Mike Riccardi, who is the pastor of local outreach ministries at Grace Community Church in Sun Valley, California, the church pastored by world-renowned theologian, Bible teacher and preacher, author, conference speaker, and radio and television preacher, John MacArthur. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you both back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Pastor Josh Miller, and also for the first time ever, Pastor Mike Riccardi.
Yes, Chris, it's great to be with you. Thanks for having us, and it'll be a joy to chat with you over the next couple hours here.
Great, and our theme today is the same as your conference, Reconciliation, the Glorious Doctrine of Reconciliation, and Mike Riccardi, since you are a first-time guest, we have a tradition here on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Whenever we have a first-time guest, we have them give a summary of their salvation testimony, what kind of religious atmosphere you were raised in, if any, and what providential circumstances our Sovereign Lord used in your life to draw you to Himself and save you. So before we have you enter into our major theme of reconciliation today, why don't you tell us a brief version of your salvation testimony?
Sure, yeah. Thank you again for having me on. I grew up in a professing Christian home. My parents were the first Christians in their families and took us to church and gave us a Bible. And so I thought from an early age that I was a Christian because I believed the fact of the gospel message. But my life certainly didn't bear that out, and I don't even know if I knew that it was supposed to. And when I was 15 years old, I had, you know, had become a young man who was angry, manipulative, just absorbed by the fear of man and what others thought of me. And I got to go to Italy. My family's Italian-American, and I have some family who's got a house in the village that my great-uncle grew up in, and they would go there every year, and they took me once because I really wanted to go. And on that trip, I was confronted with the overwhelming kindness of God. I just, by God's mercy, I was reflecting on all the good things that I had been receiving on that trip and in my life, and how my life didn't match the blessings that I was receiving. I believed myself to be a Christian, professed to be a Christian, and so I knew that whatever good that I had was a blessing from God. And so I realized that if God has given me all these good things, I have nothing to be angry about. I have no reason to be living for myself. I have no reason to be treating Jesus as such an afterthought. And at the time, I think I would have said that I was vowing to get serious about my faith or rededicating my life to Christ or whatever. But then in the year following, when I actually opened the Bible and began reading, I discovered that what happened was God's kindness, like Romans 2:4 says, was leading me to repentance. And that repentance was the saving repentance of the gospel, and not merely just some sort of subsequent work of going from a carnal Christian to a really devoted Christian. And so from then on, I just read the scriptures and met Jesus and was blown away by this one that I had always said that I had known, and was bowed in wonder, and my life was never the same.
Well, praise God. Now, how did God and His providence bring you to Grace Community Church, the world-renowned church of John MacArthur, where he pastors? Tell us about that story.
Sure. So, going into high school at that time, and you know, getting more involved in my church, you know, I was just thoroughly thrilled by what I was reading in the scriptures, and maybe, well, not maybe, but definitely too early, people just saw, hey, this is a young kid excited about the Bible. Let's let him teach something. And that doesn't often work out well, and it didn't. You know, I very quickly was given opportunities that I probably shouldn't have had, and recognized my limitations right away, perhaps not too soon. I could have stood to recognize them sooner. But it led to, you know, some of the elders in my church really taking an interest in me, like taking me under their wing and discipling me, helping me to know, like, hey, this was really helpful, but don't say that again, and, you know, next time try it this way, and here are books that you can read. And I just loved teaching. I just loved helping people understand the Bible. And so I thought early on, you know, should this be what I do? Is God calling me to be a pastor? And I didn't think so. There's a long story about all this, but the short version is, early on, I decided, no, I'm not sure that I should go to Bible college or something like that, or pursue this right out of the gate. Let me go and pursue something that I can make a living out of, and then we'll see what happens. Well, by the time I was nearing the end of college, my desire to teach the scriptures and to shepherd Christ's flock had only grown more and more intense, strong, and to the point where it finally became constraining, and I knew I needed to go get trained to do this. And in that time, I had also become exposed to the ministry of John MacArthur through various means. Elders in my church using the commentaries, a friend of mine going to the university and telling me all about what he had been learning, you know, picking up the Grace to You and the resources on the website there. And I just decided after a while, this was the only place, Master Seminary, it was the only place that I wanted to go, because I wanted my life to be an exposition of the scriptures the way that John MacArthur's was. And so I did. 11 years ago, I came out here for seminary, and they haven't been able to get rid of me.
Well, tell us exactly what you do as the pastoral, or should I say the pastor of local outreach ministries at Grace Community Church.
Sure, there are about 25 different ways, maybe 27 different ministries that Grace Church employs, uses to speak the gospel and serve the Los Angeles area. So we go door to door. We do evangelism on the street. We are in jails and rehab centers and halfway houses and rescue missions. And we support pregnancy centers, preach outside abortion clinics, and invite people onto our campus to play basketball and volleyball, and then hear the gospel at halftime, and maybe a dozen other things. And my job is to identify those folks in our church and our congregation who are gifted in evangelism, and even some who aren't, but who are willing to serve in outreach ministries, to train them and to develop and train leaders who will oversee those ministries in accordance with our doctrine and philosophy of ministry, and basically take the gospel to our communities all around Los Angeles.
Great. Well, I know that the website for Grace to You Ministries, which is the media ministry of Grace Community Church and John MacArthur, is gty.org, gty.org, and the specific website for Grace Community Church of Sun Valley, California, is gracechurch.org, gracechurch.org, and we intend to repeat that information later on during the broadcast. Now, Pastor Josh Miller, please tell our listeners who have not yet heard you on this program, tell us about Grace Bible Fellowship Church of Harrisburg, Pennsylvania.
Yeah, Grace Bible Fellowship Church has been in existence just about 100 years, actually, here in the Harrisburg area. We are part of a smaller denomination, Bible Fellowship Churches, about 65 churches, 10 church plants, mostly throughout the Lehigh Valley of Pennsylvania, and then into a bit of New Jersey, New York, Delaware. And there are some far-reaching churches. We have a church in Florida and New Mexico. The denomination itself came out of actually an Anabaptist denomination, United Brethren a Mennonite Brethren in Christ. So a Mennonite Brethren in Christ movement that changed, almost did an about face in the 1950s and 60s theologically, adopting a Reformed understanding of the application of salvation, popularly known as Calvinism, but taking on the idea of election, understanding that the Holy Spirit as the only efficient cause of regeneration in the soul of man, and that is going to have a shift pragmatically in the life of a church, in the life of a denomination. So that's a little bit of a background theologically, and I've been here in Harrisburg about 8.5 years, pastoring as the pastor of preaching and teaching here at Grace Bible Fellowship Church.
And what is the website of that fine church?
Yeah, gracebfc.com. Gracebfc.com.
Gracebfc.com. Now tell us about this conference that you have arranged for, I believe it's this weekend, featuring our fellow guest here, Mike Riccardi.
Yeah, it's our privilege to have Mike with us this weekend. This is our fourth year doing this conference. It's somewhat informal, casual. It's a Saturday afternoon and then all day Lord's Day on the following Sunday. Obviously, a lot of people who come have their own churches that they worship at. We would encourage them to worship with their local body of believers. But it began 5 years ago. This is actually our fourth one. This is our fourth annual conference. It began with a celebration of the 500th anniversary of the Reformation, 1517, and the nailing of the 95 Theses on the door of the Wittenberg Chapel. And we did a celebration that weekend of that, and it went well. And so we thought, hey, let's do it again. And then we did it again, and then we did it again. So it's kind of turned into a fall gospel conference with a Reformation emphasis. And it's been great. Our guest speakers in the past 3 years, just wonderfully stimulating, encouraging, edifying to the body of believers here. So it's somewhat of a gift that we give to our local church, and then we extend the invitation to anybody who wants to come and join us. So it's been good.
And if anybody wants more details on this conference, you could go to gracebfc.com. gracebfc.com, which is the website of Grace Bible Fellowship Church of Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Well, Mike Riccardi, I'd like, since you have to depart from us before the full 2 hours are completed, I'd like you to have a dominant part of our remaining first hour of the broadcast. This theme that you're going to be discussing on reconciliation, please tell us why this is such a vital core doctrine of Bible-believing Christians. It is something that truly separates historically biblical Protestants from Roman Catholics and Eastern Orthodox and from all the cults that profess to be Christian, for that matter. In fact, one might even say that it distinguishes historically reformed Protestants from the Mennonites and those Anabaptists from which Grace Bible Fellowship Church sprang after a reformation of their own. And by the way, I have to make a clarification. Some of our listeners may have heard of a group called the Reform Mennonites. That is not a group that is theologically reformed, as in Calvinist or confessionally Protestant. It's actually a group that's Pelagian on steroids. They call themselves Reformed because they want to return to the teachings of Menno Simons and believe that they are the ones that most accurately have done that. And it's a real works righteousness treadmill and so on. So you want to stay clear of that. But reconciliation, a huge doctrine, a vital doctrine. If you could please tell our listeners about this.
Sure. I'm actually going to be preaching a series of expositions from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 to 21. And in those eight verses, we'll do four sermons. And reconciliation is one of those doctrines that is highlighted in that section. And it sort of stands at the ultimate end of God's saving work. What we see in that passage, the doctrines of substitution, you know, one died for all. We see the doctrine of regeneration. If any man's in Christ, he's a new creature. We see the doctrine of justification, that God does not count sin against us, but imputes to us the righteousness of Christ, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And so substitution, regeneration, justification are these glorious gospel doctrines that are the substance of our salvation. But what they do, what all those truths do, is they all tend to the more ultimate doctrine of reconciliation, which is to say, the overcoming of the enmity and the alienation and the hostility that exists between God and man. Man was created by God to live in perfect fellowship and unity and harmony with him. The greatest blessedness of all things is to have that open faith, unhindered communion with the triune God. And yet, it's not long that we get into the scriptures before mankind, through the temptation of Satan, messes that up and sins and breaks God's law and incurs guilt and is therefore banished from the presence of God in the Garden of Eden. That presence of God's domain being guarded with these angels with flaming swords that won't let mankind into the garden where the tree of life is. And so we who were created for perfect fellowship with God come into this world now alienated from the very God we were created to know and enjoy. And because the greatest good consists in fellowship with God, then the greatest benefit, the greatest thing that God can do for us is to overcome the ground of that alienation and welcome us back, reconcile us back into a living relationship with him, a saving relationship with him. And he does that through the substitutionary atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ, wherein he bears all the guilt of our sin on the cross, discharging the penalty of sin there in his own body. By regeneration, where God makes us a new creation, where he applies to us what Christ has purchased, and quickens in us the spiritual life that we had lost, that made us dead to all things, dead in our trespasses and sins. And then he justifies us, he declares us righteous in regenerating us, he grants us the gift of faith, and it's by that instrumentality of faith that we lay hold of the work of Jesus Christ on our behalf, and now we are credited with a righteousness that's not our own. And so we have the standing judicially to live in the presence of God without being incinerated by holiness. And so on that basis, he can He can reconcile us. He can welcome us back into relationship with Him. And that's the precious gospel that drove Paul to a life of ministry, where he says the love of Christ controls us so that we lay our life down in sacrificial ministry to the church.
Amen. Now, this core of what you were speaking about, the imputation of our sins to Christ and the imputation of Christ's holiness and perfection to us to make us acceptable to God, because otherwise we would never would be. This has been known by a wonderful term that I truly love called the Great Exchange. This is indeed a precious core of our biblical faith and our gospel, is it not?
Yes, absolutely. The imputation of our sins to Christ and the imputation of Christ's righteousness to us. I mean, that, it goes back to the second century in the epistle to Diognetus, where he exclaims, you know, oh, sweet exchange, that the sins of the many should be hidden in the one man, that the righteousness of the many should be wrapped upon many, the righteousness of the one, rather, be wrapped upon many sinners. I think in the 16th century, Richard Hooker, the Puritan Richard Hooker, said, you know, let it be counted folly or frenzy or whatever. We care for no knowledge in the world but this, that man hath sinned and God hath suffered. You know, that man has become corrupt and then God has made man the righteousness of God in the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Pastor Josh, although I, as I said earlier, we'd like Pastor Mike Riccardi to have the dominant say in our first hour, since he has to leave before the second hour, I'd still like you to chime in. Do you have anything to add to what has already been said? And also, if you could comment on your theme, Peace with God, One Hope, One Message, because in a day and age of rampant ecumenism, where we have false love affair relationships, if you will, between those that profess to believe in the gospel of the Reformation and those that actually dogmatically and officially reject that, tell us about this one hope and one message.
Yeah. Well, certainly it's all based in understanding the reality of separation, which I believe has been lost. The weight of God's holiness and restoring that to the pulpit, restoring that to the mind of believers. As you read through much, you know, of the relational language of even in the Psalms, like there seemed to be, that was the ballast within their soul in a sense. That was the weight within their soul, is that they understood that there was a separation between the Creator and the creature, that there was an effect of sin, and the mercy of God then becomes prized and valued. So you have that aspect of it with when you preach reconciliation, is beginning with the understanding of separation in a desperate position of mankind and restoring that sense. And then the hope of that, I do a lot of counseling in my position as a pastor, and part of, I'd say a lot of that counseling is restoring confidence in the heart of a believer, to understand that the work of redemption has been accomplished and what that means. So understanding initially our separation, but then understanding the work of redemption that has taken place and has been secured, and that for God to deny us as His children in Christ Jesus would be to deny the work of redemption that has been accomplished by Christ, and He will never do that. Believe that Christians cannot move forward in their relationship with the Lord, in their confidence and even walking by the Spirit, until they have that understanding that their salvation has been secured in the work of redemption accomplished by Jesus Christ, applied by the Spirit. And so those are two just practical implications of that motivated this the topic for the conference and some of my anticipation for the weekend together.
Great. And we're going to be talking more about this subject, Peace with God, One Hope, One Message, which includes the glorious doctrine of reconciliation. We're going to be talking more about that after our first station break coming up. If anybody, I was just about to announce our email address for questions. I forgot that we are not taking questions from listeners today. This is a pre-recorded broadcast, unlike our normal broadcasts, which are live. But we're going to be right back after these messages, so don't go away.
We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's L-E-E-S, drugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
Greetings in the matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ. My name is Banu Gotti. I'm a pharmacist in New York, which is the epicenter of the latest crisis the world is going through. In Psalm 139, verse 14, the psalmist offers praise to the Lord like this: I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, and wondrous are your works that my soul knows very well. He saw God's goodness and mercy, kindness, and the beauty in what God has designed, and he has erupted into praise. In any crisis or problem, brothers and sisters, our only fallback position is to trust God's design. And once we do, there is nothing for us to do but to erupt in praise to him. When the whole world is searching for a solution, God, in his infinite mercy, has given us what we need to address this illness, which can be very serious. Such is the beauty of his design. Knowing that design, how can we not erupt in praise to our great God like the psalmist did? May God bless you and give all of us wisdom to see greater things in his design. Thank you.
Your business shut down during the COVID-19 pandemic, depriving you of earning any money, causing you to default on your rent as you try to survive without income? Maybe you've had to close your doors for good. The good news, you thought, was that you purchased business interruption insurance as a part of your business liability policy with a major insurance company who told you they are a good neighbor, or that you would be in good hands. You filed a claim only to be told that it was denied due to the pandemic exclusion clause. The pandemic exclusion? Since 2006, most insurance companies added this clause to enable them to deny your income loss claims in the event of a worldwide pandemic. Do not give up. No matter what state you live in, call Buttafuoco & Associates now at 1-800-669-4878. Buttafuoco & Associates is a part of a large multi-district litigation, and they are working with lead counsel to bring what they believe will be a successful lawsuit for these claims. It is the best way for you to proceed. There's absolutely no risk to you. You do not have to pay them out of pocket, and there is no fee unless you recover on your claim. You need to call 1-800-669-4878 right now. Trust the law firm where the attorneys at one of the largest business firms on Long Island, New York, are sending their own clients for representation during this lawsuit. Buttafuoco & Associates, here to help business owners rebuild their lives in the wake of the pandemic. Call 1-800-669-4878.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nestle Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and our guests today, if you just tuned us in, are Mike Riccardi, who is on staff at Grace Community Church in Sun Valley, California, the church pastored by renowned radio teacher, television teacher, and conference speaker and author John MacArthur, and also joining us is Pastor Josh Miller of Grace Bible Fellowship Church in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, who is hosting a conference featuring Mike Riccardi this Saturday and Sunday, titled Peace with God, One Hope, One Message. And this is a pre-recorded program today, unlike our normal live programs, so there would be no audience questions. Let's go over again. You mentioned earlier the different segments of the conference, but these are such important themes. I'd like you to be a little bit more detailed about them, Pastor Riccardi. Tell us about, again, the brilliance of Christ's love.
Yeah, so in 2 Corinthians 5, you know, Paul begins by talking about, or in that section, in 5:14, he begins by talking about how the love of Christ controls us. Love of Christ compels us to lay our lives down the way that you see Paul lay his life down in the book of 2 Corinthians, you know, where he says we're perplexed, we're afflicted, we're struck down. We're always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus. He outlines his great sufferings in chapter 11. And he says, but what constrains me to keep going is the love of Christ. And that love, and then at that moment in the text, he sort of treats the love of Christ as this beautiful diamond that has all these different facets. And it's the different theological truths of the gospel. And he just sort of begins turning the diamond. He wants to focus on one facet here and the next facet there, and they make up the glorious doctrines of soteriology, of substitution, of sanctification, of regeneration, of reconciliation, and of justification. And that what expresses God's love to humanity, that he sent Jesus to stand in our place and bear our curse. That he does that not merely to leave us in our sin, you know, with a different status, but, you know, we just continue in sin. But no, he even sanctifies us. He bore our sins in his body on the cross that we might die to sin and live to righteousness, 1 Peter 2. He gives us new life. He gives us spiritual life and regeneration. We were dead in our sins, and he breathes this new life into the dry bones of our spiritual deadness and causes us to live. And he reconciles us to himself, where we were once alienated and hostile. And he does that on the basis of justifying us, of declaring us righteous on the basis of Christ's righteousness that we receive by faith alone.
And when it comes to the love of Christ, don't you think that many of our precious brethren, who we do love and we count them as brethren, who are outside of soteriologically reformed thought, don't you think that, although they would vociferously disagree, don't you think they diminish what the love of Christ really means when they claim that Christ loves the unrepentant pagan who will be in hell in the same way, to the same measure, to the same degree, as he loves his bride?
Yeah, yes, of course. I mean, what would that even mean? You know, if I can be loved and go to hell forever, in the same way that I can be loved and go to heaven forever, what's the difference that the love makes, right? Well, what does it mean for God to love me if he loves the exact same way somebody who he's going to pour out his wrath upon forever in eternal hell? If that's the case, then something about me, or something about my scenario, or about the love of God, nothing about the love of God makes a difference to me. It's a fine thing to say, God loves you. Oh, okay, that makes me feel good. But if God can love me and I can be in hell forever, then it's not the love of God that I'm really after. I'm after something else. And the question is, what is that something else then that distinguishes between elect and reprobate? What is the thing that distinguishes between the saved and the lost? And how can I get that? Will God give me that? Because I'd much prefer to be loved that way, in a way that I could live with him forever and enjoy eternal rest rather than suffer eternal judgment.
You know, there is a wonderful booklet that says something awesome and beautiful about the love of Christ. It's a booklet republished from one of J.C. Ryle's larger works, the great evangelical Calvinistic 19th century bishop, J.C. Ryle. The booklet is Sickness, republished by Chapel Library. And it opens up when it's referring to the loved ones of Lazarus, calling upon Christ for assistance to their dear friend. The booklet by Ryle says, they call him he whom thou lovest. They do not say he who loves Christ. let me get this right in front of me here. They do not say he who loves thee, believes in thee, serves thee, but whom thou lovest. Martha and Mary were deeply taught of God. They had learned that Christ's love toward us, and not our love towards Christ, is the true ground of expectation and true foundation of hope. That's another thing that is a central issue of the Reformation and of the Scriptures, is it not? That our love, for Christ is woefully inadequate, no matter what level of seasoned sanctification we ever reach on this earth. Our love for Christ will always be woefully inadequate, whereas his love for us is perfect.
Yeah, absolutely right. I mean, if my salvation depended upon my love for him, I would have no hope, because on my best day, I don't love God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength the way that he's worthy of. You know, on my best day, I have enough sin in my best deed, in my best thought, in my best affection, to damn me and the rest of the human race. And that's why it is such a blessing, like Ryle said, that what makes the difference between heaven and hell and salvation and damnation is not the work of the sinner. It's not even the love of the sinner. Not even the faith of the sinner. It's the love of God and the grace of God to grant the sinner faith. We don't make faith or love or any other act of humanity the ground of our righteousness. Faith is certainly the instrument of our righteousness. We're the instrument of our justification. We're the empty hand whereby we lay hold of the work of Christ, the work of another. But it's not the ground. The only basis of our righteousness is what Christ has done on our behalf. And love is certainly the result of justification, the result of having been credited righteous and given a new heart in regeneration,
but it's the result. It's what necessarily follows. It's not the root of our salvation. It is the fruit. We love because we've been saved. We don't love in order to get saved.
Amen. And my dear friend, who you may be familiar with, Dr. James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, a brilliant Reformed Baptist scholar, theologian, apologist, debater, he once said something that is wonderfully connected to our discussion today. And speaking of the false gospel of Rome, which is dogmatized at the Council of Trent in the 16th century, which was a response to the Reformation, Dr. White, and I'm paraphrasing because I don't have the exact quote in front of me, but he said, the peace with God that is offered by Rome, and to that matter, I would add, any religion that professes to be Christian that rejects the gospel of salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, to the glory of God alone, the peace with God offered is not really a true, perfect, eternal, everlasting peace. It's merely a ceasefire that might have the appearance or the feeling of peace for a time, but it could erupt in a full-scale, full-blown war between God and man at any given moment. That kind of a gospel really should not give anyone any kind of peace of mind or encouragement or confidence that Christ loves them and that they are going to see him in heaven one day. I mean, it's really a horrible imitation of the gospel, isn't it?
Yeah, it's no gospel at all. I mean, a gospel in which you can hear there is therefore now still some condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I mean, isn't the gospel of Romans 8, of that great chapter which details the Spirit's work and the on the basis of Christ's work that unites us to him, right? I mean, especially in Roman Catholicism where, you know, you're virtually guaranteed to go to purgatory even if you eventually wind up in heaven. You know, what's that mean? That means that Christ has somehow averted your wrath in some provisional halfway so that when you die, you yourself have to undergo some of that wrath, some of that condemnation to purge away the rest of your sinfulness. I mean, that just makes his work to be insufficient. Any notion that the believer could lose his salvation so that, you know, Christ could satisfy the wrath of God on one's behalf, totally extinguishing the anger that and the justice that was due to me that I was supposed to experience for eternity in hell, that could be satisfied, and then at some later date, because of something that I have managed to do, that wrath could be reignited and rekindled over to break over my head once again because I've somehow failed to hang on to my justification, I've lost my salvation. You know, what does that say? That says that Christ did not really satisfy in any enduring and lasting and genuine way the wrath of God upon sinners. So the only good news is an atonement that actually atones, that effectually propitiates, satisfies the anger of the just judge that must break over the head of the criminal, but which does not because it's broken over the head of the divine Son of God who's borne all of that wrath in our place. If any of that is rekindled, you're basically saying that the Father is rejecting what Jesus has done in behalf of sinners, that he's not pleased with his work, and that it was insufficient what Christ did to save sinners.
Amen. And one of the things that is possibly repeated often in error, I may have even said something similar to this unintentionally, but when we think of the Reformation beginning in the church, we very often will allude to Martin Luther's nailing of the 95 Theses to the church door at Wittenberg as the beginning of the Reformation. Well, there were really historic figures prior to Luther, even a century or more prior to Luther, that were beginning the work of Reformation, and one of these great heroes of the faith was John Huss, or Jan Hus, as he is probably more accurately, his name is more accurately pronounced, the Swiss pre-Reformation reformer. Why is this figure a major part of your conference this weekend?
Well, I can speak to that. This is Josh chiming in. I am the one who's going to do the biographical sketch on John Huss, and just the light dawning about 100 years before what we recognize as the Protestant Reformation there with John Huss as he began to exposit the scriptures clearly. And certainly, Mike, you can chime in here if you have any contribution from the life of John Huss. But seeing that the light never died out, but was shining even prior to what we know as the Protestant Reformation. And just wanted to highlight that ministry, the clarity of the preaching of God's word, and John Huss falling more in love with and defense of the person of Christ. The person and work of Christ, I should say.
Yeah, I mean, he lived and ministered in a time when, there wasn't this full-on, radical reshaping of church life and popular understanding of doctrine. Not Luther, because he was the pioneer in Saxony, but, by the time of Calvin, certainly, I mean, this was sweeping continental Europe. Huss was still ministering in the middle of, Roman popish domination, where the Pope was the head of the church, and the scriptures were not the sole infallible authority. It was the magisterium's interpretation of the scriptures that was told and dictated and pontificated, where we get that word, to the people by the Pope. And what Huss did is he rejected, the doctrine that the Pope is the head of the church in favor of solus Christus, that Christ alone is the head of the church. He rejected the doctrine that the magisterium was an infallible authority for the church, but championed sola scriptura, that the scripture alone was the sole infallible authority for the people of God. And in a time where it was just unquestioned that it was faith plus baptism plus the sacraments of the Catholic Church that were the instrument of our justification, us preached the sola fide, that faith alone is the sole instrument of justification, the sole instrument by which we lay hold of saving righteousness. And he paid for it. He was condemned as a heretic at the Council of Constance in 1415, and that's where that famous line comes from, where he, in a manner, in extraordinary providence, sort of predicts that you might extinguish his light, you might cook this goose, but in 100 years there will rise a swan who you won't be able to snuff out, whose light you won't be able to snuff out. And that 1415 to about 100 years later, 1517, was the ministry of Martin Luther, who was often called the Saxon Huss.
And that phrase that he uttered, Hus, that was a play on words, because his name itself means goose, doesn't it?
Right, right.
And
yep.
Before we say goodbye to our guest, Mike Riccardi, and keep in mind, folks, we are continuing for an additional hour with Josh Miller, but Mike could only be with us for the first hour of this broadcast today. But if you could, Mike, give us a bit more information on your message on New in Christ that you will be delivering this weekend.
Sure. So it comes from 2 Corinthians 5:16-17, verse 17, right? If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. The old is gone, and behold, all things are new, become new. Speaking to the fact that what makes someone a Christian is not, their change in behavior. It's not their change in language. It's not their change in political affiliation. It's not their heredity, right? It's not that, well, their parents were Christians or their grandparents are Christians, so they're Christians. What makes someone a Christian isn't, their weekly worship rituals, you know, then now they go to church and read their Bibles and pray and evangelize. What makes someone a Christian is the life of God invested into the soul of man by God himself in the miracle that is regeneration, the new birth, being born again, as Jesus tells Nicodemus. Something is so fundamentally wrong with mankind by nature that we don't need to just make some minor shift in our thinking, in our language, in our behavior, in our social calendar. We need to be born all over again. Spurgeon said, you know, the text doesn't say ye must be improved. The text says ye must be born again. And so we need something so drastic to happen to us from outside of us that it's likened to being born all over again. And then when that happens, when God performs that miracle in our lives, two things naturally result. And one is you have a new view of Christ, and that's the moment of conversion where Christ, who once looked foolish or mythical or boring or uninteresting, now looks absolutely thrilling and glorious and powerful and satisfying and compelling. And so, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4 that God shines light in the heart that opens the blind eyes so that we see the light of the knowledge of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. And that's what happens. And then the second result of that is not just a new view of Christ regarding Christ no longer according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Now, we don't regard anyone according to the flesh, Paul says. And that is a great thought. It's a great principle that has immense application for us in our current moment in society, because in a society where the strains of unbelieving thought are telling us that we must, if we're to love people, we must view them according to the flesh. We must see one another as black, white, Hispanic, you know, Asian, as male, female, as rich, poor, as oppressor, oppressed, as have and have not, right? Christ says, the Word of God says, no, when God changes you, when he makes you born again, when he invests you with the spiritual life that you did not have by your nature because you were dead in sin, and he changes your view of Christ so that you don't regard him according to the flesh, he also changes your view of everyone else and everything else so that you're not regarding those people and those things according to the flesh, but you look at them with spiritual eyes. Now you don't look at one another as male, female, slave, free, right? Jew, Gentile. You look at them as brother and sister, or one in need of the gospel. Brother in Christ or enemy of Christ, and one who stands yet in need of the gospel of the God who reconciles his enemies to himself. And so, I mean, regeneration is going from darkness to light, from death to life, from sin to salvation.
Well, we've got to say goodbye to Mike Riccardi now, and if anybody wants to get in touch with Mike Riccardi, his email address is outreach@gracechurch.org, outreach@gracechurch.org. You can also find out more about him and his ministry at Grace Community Church of Sun Valley, California, at gracechurch.org/local, gracechurch.org/local. Thank you so much, Mike Riccardi, for being on the program, and we look forward to you returning to this program in the future, not only soon, but frequently.
Thanks so much, Chris. I look forward to it, too, and it's a pleasure to be with you.
Thank you. And also, folks, remember, we're going to be on for another hour with Josh Miller of the Grace Bible Fellowship Church of Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, so don't go away. We're going to our longer-than-normal break because of the fact that Grace Life Radio in Lake City, Florida, requires of us a longer than normal break in the middle of our show so that they can obey FCC regulations to localize this program to Lake City, Florida with their own public service announcements. So please be patient with us. Use this time wisely by writing down information provided by our advertisers so that you can more frequently and successfully patronize them, which means that they will remain our advertisers more than likely because they're happy that they're getting results, but also subsequently will remain on the air for a longer future, God willing, because we need our advertisers to exist. We need the financial support of our advertisers in order to remain on the air. So please patronize our advertisers as much as possible. And we look forward to having Josh Miller continue this discussion with us after these messages. So don't go away.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio depends upon the financial support of fine Christian organizations to remain on the air, like the Historical Bible Society. The Historical Bible Society maintains a collection of Christian books, manuscripts, and Bibles of historical significance spanning nearly 1,000 years. The mission of HBS is the preservation and public display of ancient scripture, dissemination of scripture, to provide tools equipping believers in Christian apologetics with evidence for the Bible's reliability, and to introduce Reformation literature and Christian art to a broader audience. Since 2004, HBS has toured schools and churches throughout the Northeast United States, reaching thousands of believers and non-believers alike who are hungry for knowledge of the Bible. HBS's founder, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, is committed to sharing this collection along with an inspirational historical message that will captivate you and your church. Come journey through their website, historicalbiblesociety.org. The collection includes a complete 11th century Bible, an actual page of the Gutenberg Bible from 1455, the first book ever printed, the Geneva Bible, the 1611 King James Bible, and much, much more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org today. Thank you, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, for your faithful support of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
Here's what Gary DeMar, president of American Vision, had to say about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio recently.
Good to be back, Chris. I always enjoy our time. I have to say you're one of the better interviewers out there, and I've been doing this for more than 30 years.
Wow, that's some compliment. How much do I owe you for that?
you don't have to owe me anything, so we're in good shape.
I'm glad you said it on the air, so I don't have to brag about myself. Tell your friends and loved ones about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, airing live Monday through Friday, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time at ironsharpensironradio.com.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future. and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's L-E-E-S, drugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
Greetings in the matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ. My name is Banu Gotti. I'm a pharmacist in New York, which is the epicenter of the latest crisis the world is going through. In Psalm 139, verse 14, the psalmist offers praise to the Lord like this: I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, and wondrous are your works that my soul knows very well. He saw God's goodness and mercy, kindness, and the beauty in what God has designed, and he has erupted into praise. In any crisis or problem, brothers and sisters, our only fallback position is to trust God's design. And once we do, there is nothing for us to do but to erupt in praise to him. When the whole world is searching for a solution, God, in his infinite mercy, has given us what we need to address this illness, which can be very serious. Such is the beauty of his design. Knowing that design, how can we not erupt in praise to our great God like the psalmist did? May God bless you and give all of us wisdom to see greater things in his design. Thank you.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics in Islam at the Toronto Baptist Seminary.
and the NESB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jeff Downs of Knox Reformed Presbyterian Church in Mechanicsville, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Mark Grimaldi of Grace Reformed Baptist Church of Long Island in Merrick, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Scott Basolo of the Master's Church of Bucks County, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Kevin Vigneault of the Bible Church of Port Washington, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Andrew Smith of Christ Reformed Community Church in St. Augustine, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Clint Leiter of Highway M Chapel, Sedalia, Missouri, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnzen. If you just tuned us in, our guest today for the remaining hour will be Josh Miller. He was on with Pastor Mike Riccardi of Grace Community Church in Sun Valley, California, which is the church pastored by John MacArthur, the renowned radio Bible teacher and TV Bible teacher and author and conference speaker. He was on, Pastor Miller was on with Mike Riccardi the first hour, and we will be continuing with Pastor Miller alone during the second hour because Pastor Riccardi had to depart from the program after being on with us for the first hour. But before we return to Pastor Josh Miller and our theme today, which is not only on the doctrine of reconciliation, but also on the major theme of a conference hosted by Pastor Miller at the Grace Bible Fellowship Church of Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, Peace with God, One Hope, One Message. Before we return with that discussion, I do want to give you some details on this conference. It's being held this Saturday and Sunday in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Saturday, October 3rd, this first session begins at 1 p.m., and that is on the brilliance of Christ's love. The second session begins at 3:20 p.m. on New in Christ, and the third session begins at 4:30 p.m., which is a Q&A session with the audience. The conference continues on Sunday, the 4th of October. Sunday school at 9:15 a.m. gives you a biographical sketch on John Hus, or Jan Hus, The Goose is Cooked. And the Sunday worship service at 10:30 a.m. is on the theme, The Message and Ministry of Reconciliation. And the Sunday evening service at 6 p.m. is on Reconciliation Accomplished. If you want more details on this conference, you can go to the website of Grace Bible Fellowship Church of Harrisburg, Pennsylvania at gracebfc.com, gracebfc.com. Also, folks, if you love this show and you do not want it to disappear from the airwaves, I urge you to please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You could donate instantly with a debit or credit card in that fashion. And you can also send in a check via snail mail, the old-fashioned way if you prefer, to the address that appears on the screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com. You could also advertise with us if you prefer advertising, as long as whatever it is you are promoting is compatible with what we believe. You don't have to believe identically with what I believe, but you need to be supporting or promoting something that is at the very least compatible with what I believe. Send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. Keep in mind, folks, I never want anybody siphoning money away from the regular giving that they're accustomed to their own local church where they are a member in order to give to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. In other words, never take away from your regular giving to your local church in order to give to us. That's a command of God to provide for your own church with your offerings. So please don't give less to your church to give to us. Also, please, if you are struggling to survive, you're having a really difficult time to make ends meet, don't put your family in financial jeopardy either by giving to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Those two things are commands of God in Scripture, providing for your church and your family. Providing for Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is obviously not a command of Scripture, but if you are financially blessed above and beyond your ability to obey those two commands, providing for church and home, and you want this program to remain on the air, please give as frequently as you can and as generously as you can by going to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. We are in urgent need of your giving because we have lost our two largest financial supporters, at least temporarily, in the wake of the hysteria connected with the pandemic. The two largest supporters that we have, their businesses were so negatively affected by the hysteria of the coronavirus that they had to temporarily, at least, maybe even permanently, stop supporting Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, which leaves us in a very precarious, a very dangerous position financially. So please help us as much as you can by going to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. Also, folks, if you are not a member of a Bible-believing church where you live, please send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put "I need a church" in the subject line. I have lists of biblically faithful churches all over the world, and I have helped folks all over the planet Earth in our audience find churches, sometimes within just a couple of minutes' drive from where they live, and they didn't even know that these churches existed. So send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put "I need a church" in the subject line. That's also the email address where, again, you can send in a request for advertising. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put advertising in the subject line. We truly do need your advertising dollars and your donations because we are seriously in jeopardy of going off the air. We are in such a precarious and financially disastrous situation right now. Please help us as much as you can and as frequently as you can. We are now being joined again by my dear friend and our guest for the remaining hour, or a little less than an hour now, Josh Miller, the pastor of Grace Bible Fellowship Church in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. And we are discussing the theme of the Bible conference being hosted by Pastor Miller, Peace with God, One Hope, One Message. That's this Saturday and Sunday. The main speaker will be Mike Riccardi, who is our guest as well during the first hour of this program. This theme, Reconciliation Accomplished, that will be the Sunday evening session of the conference. This is another key thing that separates those of us who are theologically reformed, at least soteriologically, from our brothers and sisters in Christ who are outside of the Reformed faith, and also those who we might consider our friends and loved ones, but who are not our brethren, who have adopted the heresy of Rome's false gospel, and those who are in professedly Christian groups that are really cults or false religions. One of the key things that separates us is that we do believe reconciliation has truly been accomplished by Christ on Calvary's cross. If you could continue on that thread.
Oh, brother, it is our absolute confidence that the price that was required because of our sin was paid. I'm reminded, as you're talking there, of the great truth that comes from the simple pronoun in 1 Peter chapter 2, when it speaks of Christ's propitiation or his substitution, his completed work. It says in 1 Peter 2:22, he committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. And then here it is regarding the reconciliation accomplished. He himself bore our sin in his body on the tree that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. So when we speak of, you know, there's different theological terms that are placed on that, the substitutionary atonement of Christ, substitutionary atonement, that Christ stood in our place, bore the wrath of God that we deserved, and so in so doing, through faith, by the grace of God, we have access to the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So that is, he secured for us an inheritance of righteousness of which we had no claim to. I think, there's a simple, analogy or illustration. I think I heard R.C. Sproul use it one time regarding the categories of our guilt that we often overlook. There is the horizontal guilt that we feel from man to man, but we often forget or disregard the vertical position that our sin, or you know, our vertical guilt, if you will, before God. I think it was R.C. Sproul who used the simple story of you're walking into a convenience store and you're standing behind a young boy who's there with a pack of gum in his hand, and he realizes he doesn't have enough money to buy the pack of gum, and he darts out of the front door with a pack of gum. And wouldn't you know it, there's a police officer standing right outside the door. He grabs the boy by his collar, brings him back to the counter, and you're watching all this unfold. And of course, with the kindness of your heart, you step forward and say, I'll take care of it. I'll take care of this. I'll pay for this boy's pack of gum, whatever. And the police officer wisely, astutely says, that may take care of the debt he owes to the clerk, but as soon as he ran out of the front door, there's now a label that he bears that he cannot shake, and that is thief. And there's no amount of money. There's nothing that you can do to remove those titles. And that's the glorious news of reconciliation, of peace with God. Isn't this what Paul says to the Corinthians? All those labels that they were, sexually immoral, idolaters, adulterers, men who practice homosexuality, thieves, greedy, drunkards, revilers, swindlers. Like, these are our titles that settle upon us, rightly so, that we cannot absolve. That guilt cannot be removed. Those labels cannot be removed.
Those identifications cannot be removed before God. No amount of prison sentencing, no amount of fines, no amount of community service, no amount of righteousness. But you were washed. As Paul says there in 1 Corinthians, such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what I mean when we have one message. That every true church of God, the message that we proclaim to the world must eventually funnel down into that simple truth, that there is enmity, there is separation, there is hostility between you and God that can be removed in Christ Jesus. And if we can't preach a definitive atonement, if we can't preach a finished work of Christ, we don't have a hope to pass on. We're not here primarily to mend horizontal relationships and horizontal good. When I say we, I mean the church. We, in a sense, are preparing people to face God one day, clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's our glorious hope. Yeah. Yeah, I know. You poked me a little bit there. kind of released the air of the balloon. But yeah, I love, you know, when people say, I've heard, you know, and I'm sure you've heard this, you know, all roads lead to God. And I stopped kind of rebuking that or trying to counter that. And I take the avenue now of agreeing with it. And I say, you're right. All roads do lead to God. The problem is, what are you going to do when you get there? And we are going to stand before God, you know, one day. And
yes,
you're going to be able to stand confidently cloaked in a righteousness that has been given to you by grace through faith.
Yes, I can even remember when I was in a alcohol recovery ministry as a resident due to my sin of returning to drunkenness a decade ago. When Don Holder, the primary preacher, who's also the executive director of Hebron Colony Ministries in Boone, North Carolina, I can never stop singing the praises of that ministry because I have been addiction-free, at least addiction to alcohol, and substances, of course, for over a decade. And I thank God for that, and I thank God and Hebron Colony, because God used Hebron Colony as his tool to bring me to that place of full repentance and into a reestablished relationship with the church and so on. But Don Holder also quoted that often repeated saying, all roads lead to God. And he said, yeah, they do, but only one leads to God in salvation. All the others that lead to God lead to him in judgment. And by the way, I just want to quickly plug that ministry, HebronColony.org. HebronColony.org, if anybody knows, or if you yourself have an addiction problem, whether it be alcohol, drugs, or other issue, I highly recommend it. They also have a women's ministry in Santee, South Carolina. You could also find out more information at HebronColony.org about that as well. Some of our listeners might be wondering why I was contrasting the Reformed view of the reconciliation having been accomplished with those outside of the Reformed faith, outside of what has been nicknamed Calvinism. They might be puzzled by me saying that there's a different understanding there. Because most professing Christians would heartily amen reconciliation has been accomplished. They would heartily amen the atonement has been accomplished. They would heartily amen redemption has been accomplished. They would heartily amen that Christ died as our substitute. But they really can't logically and consistently hold that view if they deny the doctrine of definite atonement. It's also called particular redemption, and it's also nicknamed limited atonement. The limited not being the limitation of the power of the atonement, but the limited number of people for whom it was intended. Because as Charles Spurgeon said, it is the Arminian who really limits the atonement because he limits its power, because most of those for whom Christ died in the Arminian understanding will be in hell, whereas those who believe in a particular redemption or the doctrine of limited atonement, they believe, we believe, that everyone for whom Christ died will be in heaven. Am I right there?
Yes, yeah. And so, again, you and I may prefer the title particular redemption. You know, that Christ said that there, he lays down his life for his sheep. Even in the birth announcement, you will name him, you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. That even within the economy of the Godhead, with the application of salvation, Christ wouldn't have died and shed his blood for a people that the Spirit would not apply that redemption to. They would not be working according to one will within the Godhead. They work in coordination where the Father chose, the Son purchased, the Spirit applied. It is working in coordination together with one will to save a people to the glory of God. In agreement with your leading question there regarding the application of redemption being to those for whom Christ died.
Yes, and for those of our listeners who love Charles Haddon Spurgeon, who count him among their heroes, or who are simultaneously not within the camp known as Reformed theology or Calvinism. Some of them are even vehement anti-Calvinists. Charles Haddon Spurgeon was a thoroughgoing five-point Calvinist, and he believed it was a monstrous thought. In fact, if you get a booklet, it's actually a booklet taken from his autobiography called A Defense of Calvinism, available through Chapel Library. But if you get that booklet, A Defense of Calvinism, you will see how Spurgeon believes it was a monstrous thought, descriptive of a God more monstrous than the pagan deities, to believe that God would punish in hell people who allegedly he already died for to pay the price of their sin. And he demonstrates how that really does not make any sense at all. I tend not to use language as strong as Spurgeon does or did, but would you agree with the concept there, Pastor Josh?
Oh, absolutely, in the sense that I even mentioned regarding the economy of the Trinity and the working out of the Father's will to save, how could the Spirit work in opposition to the work of the Son? And that's what becomes a monstrous thought. And it speaks to, I think, something that is lost even in our thinking within the church. And you know, we use the phrase, but I think the weight of it is lost, and that is the glory of God. And that that we exist for the glory of God. Missions exist for the glory of God. You know, I talk with a lot of missionaries, and a lot of missionaries speak of their love for people groups, love for ethnicities, being drawn to specific lands and people. And that is noble and good. I don't want to diminish that at all. But primarily, there needs to be a love and a passion for the glory of God. Because when those people groups do not reciprocate that love, You do not lose your mission's fervor if it is ultimately motivated by the glory of God. And this comes into play even in our redemption, that it all leads to the glory of God. It is certainly those theological positions that we've been speaking of, particular redemption, election, substitutionary atonement, they do present legitimate and hard questions for us to answer, particularly pertaining to a man's responsibility in all of that, and how he can still stand before God condemned for his rejection, for his reprobation, though it was God who, you know, in a sense, there was God who did not choose him from before the foundation of the earth. Those are difficult and hard questions that I'm eventually pushed back to the Word of God itself and standing upon what the Word of God says. So I can preach without hesitation man's responsibility to repent, the call to repent, that it is a command to repent for every living man, woman, and child to repent and believe in the gospel, but yet knowing that they will not be drawn to the message of salvation in Jesus Christ apart from the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit. So we pray to that end, but we preach to that end. Peter says that they are one and the same in the sense of they're not one and the same, but the activation, if you will, of that regenerating work is contingent upon hearing the gospel. It is the Spirit working through the gospel. You have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding Word of God. And this is the Word, the good news that was preached to you. So we know it is the Spirit who causes us to be born again, but Peter can equate that with the preaching of the Word as well. The Word of God. So I don't know if I preempted all of those questions that would come back regarding particular and all of that, because I feel the weight of those. The fury and fire and condemnation of hell is not something that is lost on me when I preach that.
One of the things that we should make clear is whenever we are preaching on the great importance, the vital importance, the salvific importance of salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, to the glory of God alone, the vital nature of the doctrine of justification by faith alone, the vital doctrine of the imputation of Christ's righteousness to us who are his people, and our imputation of our sins to him. There are those in the Church of Rome and also among the Arminians and non-Reformed Protestants and also among the cults who would say that because we believe in justification by faith alone, that we are, in fact, they will even say John Calvin was the architect for accepting licentiousness and libertinism in the body of Christ. I even heard a Calvary Chapel pastor, a very famous one, on the radio, say there are many people out there who believe you could sin unrepentantly your whole life and live like the devil your whole life until the day you die and never repent and you will be in heaven. Man, that's not in the Bible. John Calvin made that up, which is a horrific slander, because Calvin never said that, and neither did anyone who had the nickname Calvinist or Reformed Christian. The doctrine of repentance is essential to not only biblical Christianity, but even reformational or Calvinistic Christianity. Now, how is it that we can believe in the necessity of repentance and the necessity of bearing good works as a litmus test on whether our faith is authentic or dead? How can we reconcile justification by faith alone with that truth of the necessity of repentance?
Well, when I think that you are connecting repentance there with a life that demonstrates, regeneration. And I think that we can say that our faith necessitates repentance, our faith necessitates, true faith necessitates transformation because the Holy Spirit is present. Because the Holy Spirit, I mean, this comes back to Paul in Galatians 3, you know, who has bewitched you, having begun by the Spirit, you think you are now being perfected by the flesh. Because we recognize that faith is a gift of the Spirit, that faith is evidence of the regenerating work of the Spirit, and we believe that the Spirit has been given as a seal to endure until the return of Christ Jesus fully takes us home, and even on into the eternity, Christ says He gives the Spirit to us forever, that there can be an expectant change as a result of the Spirit's presence. And so that's why we believe that. I hope that answers your question. But
no, I mean, a good tree bears good fruit as Christ.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, but I interrupted you there.
Yeah. No, that's great. That's great. Succinct and simple, and that's perfect.
That's why we, unlike the charge, the slander against us by Roman Catholic apologists and anti-Calvinist apologists and laymen, I hate that term layman, but you know what I mean, that slander that we are in contradiction to the Epistle of James is outright a falsehood, because all James is saying is that if a faith does not bear good works, does not produce good works, does not bear good fruit, it is a dead faith and therefore a false faith. It is not, James never was saying that our works contribute to becoming born again or remaining born again. Am I right?
Right. Yeah, no, absolutely right. He's not in contradiction to what Paul has taught in Romans, that the just shall live by faith. There is a sense even which James is speaking of an evidence that is horizontal. When he says, I can show you my faith by my works, that there is a vindication of one's saving faith on a horizontal level through evidence of that. It is not what merits us righteousness before the Father. That is by faith alone when we speak of the human element, the human component of salvation. Again, the work of regeneration is made evident through our response in faith. I mean, listen to even some, like the way that John talks in his epistle in 1 John. He says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and catch this, whoever loves has been born of God and knows God." So there's that regeneration language again of being born of God. Well, what's the evidence of that? That there is real love, that you are able to love. He uses that phrase also earlier in his epistle, if you know that he is righteous, you may be sure that everyone who practices righteousness has been born of him. Again, there is this regeneration that precedes evidence, or precedes righteousness in that case. I think he says it even more definitively later on. Yeah, it says everyone in chapter 5 and verse 1, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. So there you have regeneration, the work of the Spirit being born of God, preceding belief, preceding faith. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. And whoever loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him. So again, so we have a right to expect from those who claim to have been born again, regenerated, that there's going to be love of God. There's going to be a demonstration of righteousness. There is going to be a belief in Jesus Christ. That has practical implications for church discipline. I mean, if you didn't believe in that, you couldn't carry out biblical church discipline. If you didn't believe there should be an expectation of no longer being enslaved to sin in the sense of refusing to repent.
Well, we have to go to our final break right now. It'll be much more brief than the last two. So don't go away. We're going to be right back with more of Peace with God, One Hope, One Message, and the Glorious Doctrine of Reconciliation with our guest, Pastor Josh Miller of Grace Bible Fellowship Church in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Don't go away. We'll be right back after these brief messages.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Pastor Brandon Scalf of Cruciform Bible Church in Indianapolis, Indiana, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chris Hatton of Grace Chapel in Sanford, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Jack Wilkie, minister of the Forney Church of Christ in Forney, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Mike Wachowski of Westminster Chapel in Ball Ground, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Steve Cooley of Bethlehem Bible Church in West Boylston, Massachusetts, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Brock Evans from Wading River Baptist Church in Wading River, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tom Lasser of Crestview Baptist Church in Big Spring, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB and tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so, and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, announcing a new website with an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World now at no charge for 90 days by going to getworldnow.com. That's getworldnow.com. I rely on World because I trust the reporting.
I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. There's no obligation and no credit card required. Visit GetWorldNow.com today. Also check out World News Group's podcast, The World and Everything in It, at WNG.org/podcast. That's W for World, N for News, G for Group, .org/podcast.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries and the Dividing Line webcast here. Although God has brought me all over the globe for many years to teach, preach, and debate at numerous venues, some of my very fondest memories are from those precious times of fellowship with Pastor Rich Jensen and the brethren at Hope Reformed Baptist Church, now located at their new beautiful facilities in Coram, Long Island, New York. I've had the privilege of opening God's Word from their pulpit on many occasions, have led youth retreats for them, and have always been thrilled to see their members filling many seats at my New York debates. I do not hesitate to highly recommend Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, to anyone who wants to be accurately taught, discipled, and edified by the Holy Scriptures, and to be surrounded by truly loving and caring brothers and sisters in Christ. I also want to congratulate Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram for the recent appointment of Pastor Rich Jensen's co-elder, Pastor Christopher McDowell. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to HopeReformedLI.net. That's HopeReformedLI.net or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, that you heard about them from James White on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Was your business shut down during the COVID-19 pandemic, depriving you of earning any money, causing you to default on your rent as you try to survive without income? Maybe you've had to close your doors for good. The good news, you thought, was that you purchased business interruption insurance as a part of your business liability policy with a major insurance company who told you they are a good neighbor or that you would be in good hands. You filed a claim only to be told that it was denied due to the pandemic exclusion clause. The pandemic exclusion? Since 2006, most insurance companies added this clause to enable them to deny your income loss claims in the event of a worldwide pandemic. Do not give up. No matter what state you live in, call Buttafuoco & Associates now at 1-800-669-4878. Buttafuoco & Associates is a part of a large multi-district litigation, and they are working with lead counsel to bring what they believe will be a successful lawsuit for these claims. It is the best way for you to proceed. There's absolutely no risk to you. You do not have to pay them out of pocket, and there is no fee unless you recover on your claim. You need to call 1-800-669-4878 right now. Trust the law firm where the attorneys at one of the largest business firms on Long Island, New York, are sending their own clients for representation during this lawsuit. Buttafuoco & Associates, here to help business owners rebuild their lives in the wake of the pandemic. Call 1-800-669-4878.
Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasser wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And don't forget, folks, Solid Ground Christian Books is a primary, a major, a vital sponsor of this program. So whenever you purchase books from solid-ground-books.com, you are helping Iron Sharpens Iron Radio remain on the air, because we absolutely depend upon their financial support to exist. So please go as frequently as you can and purchase as generously as you can, not only for yourself, but for others, at solid-ground-books.com. solid-ground-books.com. We are now back with our guest today, Josh Miller, and we have been discussing Peace with God, One Hope, One Message, which is also the theme of their Bible conference this Saturday and Sunday, October 3rd and 4th in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. And I'd like you, Pastor Josh, to have about 5 minutes of uninterrupted time right now to summarize what you most want etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners about these great themes we have been discussing today.
Well, that's a good question, Chris. What I most want etched into their thoughts and minds certainly is confidence and peace that is to be found in Christ Jesus. I've been rebuked and even by a fellow preacher, even in my own delivery of the gospel. And when you speak of the peace of God, when you speak of reconciliation, do it with a smile on your face. These are not merely dividing lines. These are not merely, you know, theological arguments. But this is the greatest news that we have to give to a world that is in so desperate need of knowing what true peace and true love is, that they can have the forgiveness of their sins and have peace with their Creator. And I never cease to be amazed how the simplicity of the gospel message that could be explained to a five-year-old is what the Spirit uses to remove the scales off people's eyes and to help them see. And that there is nobody beyond the hope of redemption, nobody beyond the hope of reconciliation,
There's nobody that the grace of God cannot reach. And what a great message that we have to deliver. And so if I was to leave anything, it would just be a sense of excitement, a sense of joy, of being the ministers of reconciliation. This is what Paul calls himself even there in 2 Corinthians 5. That we have the privilege of having those beautiful feet that Romans 10 speaks about, of bringing the good news of salvation to the world. And who knows? Who knows who it is that you will come in contact with? But those who have ears to hear, it will be the greatest news that they will ever hear and receive, that there is peace with God to be had. What a glorious privilege we have to deliver that. May we never tire of it, grow weary of it. Thank you for the opportunity to speak of those wonderful truths, brother.
Amen. And if you could, give a final invitation to your conference this weekend to our listeners.
Yes. One Hope, One Message. You can access any of the information for that conference at our church website, gracebfc.com, Grace Bible Fellowship Church. So gracebfc.com. Peace with God. This is the great hope of the Christians, that our peace with God is not something that we achieve. We've been talking about that over the course of our time together here, but something that has been achieved for us, been accomplished by the completed work of Christ, who became sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God. And if you want to just delight in this truth, I believe that this is a conference you can bring a new believer, you can bring an unbeliever to hear of the glories of salvation. So the conference is Saturday afternoon, begins at 1 o'clock. Again, somewhat informal, casual, come as you are, 1 o'clock. Saturday afternoon it begins. We'll have two teaching sessions and then a question and answer time on Saturday. And then Sunday morning at 9:15, we'll have a Sunday school class, followed by our morning worship at 10:30. And then we'll close out the theme of the weekend Sunday evening at 6 o'clock on reconciliation accomplished. So all things begin Saturday, October 3rd at 1 o'clock. And that's at Grace Bible Fellowship Church. The address for that church is 1250 Colonial Road, Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. 1250 Colonial Road, Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. It'd be great to see you there.
Great. And once again, the website for Grace Bible Fellowship Church in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania is gracebfc.com. That's gracebfc, which stands for Bible Fellowship Church.com. I want to thank you so much, Pastor Josh, for being my guest again on this program. And please, when you speak next with Pastor Riccardi, please mention to him that I loved having him on the program, and I look forward to him returning to this program as my guest frequently. And God willing, I will be there. I can't guarantee it, as we can never, none of us can guarantee where we'll be tomorrow or even tonight, because God only knows for certain where we will be. But I am hoping and planning on being at the conference myself, at least on Saturday, so I hope to see you both there. I want to remind everybody listening, please prayerfully consider giving to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. If you have given in the past, consider giving even more than you have already given, because we are an really urgent need of your donations. We are in urgent need of your advertising dollars because of this great financial loss that we have incurred due to the coronavirus pandemic hysteria. As I mentioned earlier, our two largest sponsors and benefactors have at least temporarily, possibly permanently, ceased from sponsoring us because of the fact that their businesses were so negatively impacted by the coronavirus pandemic hysteria. Please help us make up for that loss. Go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. That's ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. or mailing a check to the address that appears on your screen when you click support at IronTruppensIronRadio.com. I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far, far greater Savior than you are a sinner. Thank you for listening to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.